So I'm going to be preaching today from kind of all over the place, by talent, as I normally am. I am a very scatterbrained preacher, as I'm sure you all have found out. But we're going to be opening first in Revelations chapter number 20. Revelations chapter 20. And let me just say this. The subject that I happened to pick to preach, well, I don't want to say I picked it, but I mean, the more I got into it, and the more I studied it, and the more I read different commentaries on it, the more I realized how little I know about the subject, and the more I realized how big of a topic it is. But I mean, we're just gonna go for this, I guess. Anyways, I'm hoping God can work through my ignorance, or work through me despite my ignorance, I guess. But Revelation chapter 20, and we're gonna begin in verse. Let me see, where's that? Verse number 11. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire." And I'm trying to collect my thoughts here. Oh, thank you, Connor. Nice. I actually really needed that. All right, well, getting into our text here, I'm trying to think of how I had this planned out beforehand. I guess we're going to now save your spot here, if you would. Put a bookmark or something in here, because it's going to be a while before we return back to here. And then turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I'm looking for Corinthians, and I have it in my Bible bookmarked, and I'm still flipping through pages to find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in your Bible, starting in verse number 8, it says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether we present whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may give, that everyone may thank you, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience." All right, and the topic that I was going to preach on, that I said is a very, very large topic, it is the judgments of God. More specifically, the judgment seat of Christ and the great throne judgment. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll kind of get into my message here. My dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for everything that you do for me, Lord. And I pray that you'd please just take what I have here, Lord. If there's anything in my notes or anything that I would want to say, Lord, that you wouldn't have me, Lord, I pray that you just help me to skip over it or forget it. And I pray that if there's anything you'd like me to add, that I would just say it, Lord, not thinking about it. And Lord, I pray that you'd please just use me today. I pray that you would just speak to hearts and lives today. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. Hebrews 9:27 said, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." In the passages we read, we see two judgments, the great white throne judgment being the first, This is the judgment that will separate the saved from the unsaved. And the second judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. This is the judgment for the saved people only. There is another judgment in the Bible that I know of, that, or to my knowledge, there's another one in Matthew 25. Most people call this the throne of glory. And in this judgment, God will judge the nations of the world. But we are not going to focus on that one because I didn't do any study or anything and I didn't include it. So, let me see. My notes are a mess. Also, for those of you who have OCD as myself, I'm really bothering myself doing this, but I did this for a reason. I am going to talk about them not chronologically. All right. So the Great White Throne Judgment, that happens first after the saved and the lost are separate, then God judges the saved. I'm going to talk about the judgment seat of Christ first, with that deals with only the saved people first. There's a reason for this, which you will find out later. But for both of these judgments, we are going to look at the judgment itself, so what God is judging and who God is judging, and then we are going to look at the good side of that judgment and the bad side of that judgment in both of these judgments. So number one, for those of you taking notes, number one is the judgment seat of Christ. And this is where we're at right here in 1 Corinthians 5. And if we look at, and the first thing we're going to look at is the judgment itself. Now, this judgment, basically, I'll give the outline more clearly here. First point, the judgment seat of Christ, and A is the judgment itself, and then next sub-point is it's for the saved people only. All right, and remember, as I already said, remember this is after the Great White Throne Judgment. So God has already separated the saved believers, his children, from the unsaved or unbelievers. Also, Paul in this chapter is not writing to lost people, but rather to the saints which are at Corinth. Therefore, this judgment is not focused on the lost, but it is focused on saved people only. And then number next, the purpose for this judgment is to judge the good and the bad. If you look in verse number 10, it says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So this is a judgment based specifically on the things that we've done in our life, whether they be good or bad. Now I'm going to ask you to turn to another passage of Scripture. I know I said I have a lot of passages. Matthew chapter 25. And in this passage, or in this chapter, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he gave them a parable about a man who was traveling into a far country. But before he left, he gave his servants different amounts of money so that they could make himself more money. So Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to start reading in verse number 14, and we're going to finish this parable, which ends in, I'll read until I get there. Verse number 14, we're starting in. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2 also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the ground, in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received the two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. There thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and unfaithful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, have put my money into the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and him shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now as we break down this parable, we see that the master over the servants, the man that traveled into a far country, this was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he journeyed into his far country, but before he did, he left his servants with a mission. He left his servants with money, which he wished for them to make more of it. much like the master in the parable, Jesus, when he left this earth, he didn't leave us and just say, okay, yeah, do whatever you want. No, he left us with the promise. We see, or with the mission. We see this in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus left his servants, just like the Master. He left us as Christians with a purpose and with a mission. We are called by Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is a mission that God has told us to do. But he didn't just say to preach the gospel to every creature, but he also said, teaching them to observe what all things whatsoever I have commanded thee. That's everything in this book that Jesus said. We are not only supposed to tell the lost about Jesus, we're not only supposed to lead them to Jesus, but we're also supposed to, after they get saved, after they get in church and get baptized, we're supposed to teach them what this book says. Right, and then, but in this parable, we not only see the master and his mission for his servants, but we also see in verse number 19, the judgment of his servants. Keep in mind, these are his servants. He is judging. This is us as saved believers, as I've already said. It's not the unsaved and it's not the lost. If you look in verse number 19, it says, After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Let me say this. Jesus, when he left this earth, he didn't say, Oh yeah, good luck guys, I'm leaving you here by myself. I ain't coming back to this dump ever again. He could have said that. But Jesus left us a promise. And he said, I will come again. Remember when he ascended up into heaven, the disciples stood there gazing, and the angel said, Why stand ye gazing up into heaven, ye men of Galilee? This same Jesus will come again. He will come again. In a cloud with a trumpet, or when the trumpet sounds, he will come again. Excuse me. And we continue in reading in verse number 20. It says, And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And we see the same thing in verse 21. The second servant brought money. And then we see in verse number, I have it written here somewhere, but I think it's easier just to find it. Verse number 24, Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown. And then we see the master's judgment. In verse number 26, it says, "His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawn." He called him a wicked and unfaithful servant. And so, in this parable, we see it reflects the passage of Scripture we turned to earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's a picture of the second judgment that we as Christians will have upon us. And it's not a judgment of whether or not we're saved or lost. It's a judgment of what we've done with Jesus, what we've done with this book that He's given us. And we see, I don't know if anyone is even trying to take notes, but letter B, it says, we see the good side of the servants. We see the faithful servants. We see those who have lived their lives for Christ. Those who went to church every time the doors were open. Those who read, studied, memorized, and meditated on God's Word. Those who had a real, true relationship with God. And we see that God blessed them and made them rulers over many things. But then also, letter C, we see the bad side of the story. And I kind of already covered this, but it says the wicked and unfaithful servant. Those who in their life, they did get saved, but they never fully surrendered their life to Christ. They spent their life running from Him. They spent their life living for themselves, living selfishly. They never knew what it meant to live by faith, to let God use their life. And we see because of it, they were greatly punished. In verse number 30, it says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now keep in mind, this is not talking about hell. This is not talking about everlasting punishment. Because once you're saved, you can't ever get unsaved. There's nothing that you or anyone else could do to get you unsaved once you get saved. But we do see that there is punishment for those who are unfaithful servants. And then if you go back to Revelation chapter 20. Pages are sneaking. And then verse number 11 again, I'll just read this whole part again. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And same thing, same outline as the first time. We're going to look at first the judgment itself. Now the first thing we see in this passage is letter A, that this judgment is for everyone. Unlike the other judgment, this is the judgment for every man who's ever walked the face of the earth. In verse number 12 it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." The dead is talking about everyone who has ever lived and died. Every single person in this room, no matter what, will go through this judgment. It doesn't matter how rich you are or poor you are. It says, "I saw the great and small," or where did that go? "And I saw the dead, small and great." It doesn't matter how great you are as a person. It doesn't matter how great your life was or how many riches you had. It doesn't matter. You will go through this judgment no matter what. And then secondly, we see that this is a judgment to separate the saved from the lost. If you look in verse number 14, it says, "And death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death." The word death means separation. In this verse, we said it says, this is the second death. The first death is everyone who has ever died on earth. That is the first death. That is separation from our physical body, separation from the flesh which we wear. But this second death, not everyone will see. Not everyone in this room will see the second death. Those who are saved, those who know Christ as their personal Savior, will never see this second death. They will never experience what hell is truly like. But then on the other hand, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. We're going to turn to one passage of Scripture, and I'll read that and kind of make a conclusion, and then I'll be done. I know it's kind of going fast, but turn to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. And this is, many people say that this is a parable. I personally do not think this is a parable. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I, for many reasons, do not believe, like I said, that this is a parable. I believe this was a true, actual story. But we're going to begin reading in verse number 19. So Luke chapter 16, verse 19 says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desired to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by an angel into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receive thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto me, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And in these verses, we see the rich man who had everything he could ever ask for. He had everything he could ever want, everything he could ever desire. And we also see the poor man who had nothing, absolutely nothing. Yet, we see that after their death, the one who had everything, the one who had all the wealth and all the riches he could desire, he was in anguish and in torment. And the man that had nothing had everything he could imagine. So in this parable and in the passage of Scripture before, just like previously, there's a good side to the judgment, but also there's a bad side. And we're going to focus firstly be the good side. And the only thing I found to be good in this, which, I mean, is the best thing on earth, is the fact that those who are saved, they'll never have to worry about hell. They'll never have to worry about ever feeling what hell's even like. If you are saved today, you are safe in Jesus for all eternity. But then, letter C, we see also the bad side. And I began to think about this, and of course the first thing that comes to mind is there's the bad side for the lost. But then as I began to think about it even more, there's a bad side for the saved also. And I bet you're thinking, I wonder, what could be so bad about going to heaven? What could be so bad about living your life in eternity? Well, the bad side for those going to heaven are those that they know are going to hell. Imagine everyone you know, neighbors and coworkers and family, that you've never told about the gospel. And they're going to go to hell and spend eternity there just simply because you failed to tell them about Christ. And then lastly, we see the bad side for the lost. And of course, we know that the worst thing that could ever happen to a person, the worst thing on this earth could ever be, is to be sent to hell. And I pray that if there's someone here today that you're not completely sure you're saved or not, you're not completely sure that you're on your way to heaven when you die, don't leave this building without knowing that for a fact. Don't leave here without getting reassurance. Talk to someone. There's plenty of people in this room that would love to share the gospel with you. But don't leave here without asking someone. And that's all I have today. And I don't know if we want to do an invitation. I guess we could just do an invitation with no music if Bethany's not ready. That's fine. But I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet if you will, with your heads bowed.